Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Smoke's creating a lot of haze across our area again today. Right now we're at moderate, but I'll show you why we'll likely end up at orange in just a few hours. Plus, two police officers involved in the shooting death of a woman will have to find a way to cover the costs of their lawyers' fees. Why a decision by the city council may not be a done deal.
Also, conservative televangelist and one-time presidential candidate Pat Robertson has died. We look back on his life.
We still have some smoky haze over the area right now from those wildfires burning in Canada. Hello, everyone. I'm Renee Chu.
And I'm Ken Smith in for Jeff Hogan. Thanks for joining us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner is in the WRAL Severe Weather Center to let us know if it's safe to spend any time outdoors today, Elizabeth.
Let's talk about the numbers. Right now, the number in the Triangle area is at 71, and that's particles of pollution per cubic meter. That's a lot to say. It's a mouthful. But really, what we need to know is it's a yellow. And then we're likely hit 130 as we get into the afternoon as we continue to see this flow coming down from Canada. So that puts us at orange a little bit later on today. Of course, what orange means is that it's mainly unhealthy for sensitive groups, young children, the elderly, anyone with asthma or respiratory issues. If you're a healthy adult, you're fine to take the dog out for a walk. You could even do some light exercise outside, most likely without any issues. But if you start to feel any symptoms, tightness in your chest, coughing, you want to take it back inside. Code orange means it's unhealthy for some, again, mainly those sensitive groups. Let's take a look at that smoke now coming down from Canada. This is our computer model that shows the smoke. It does show light coverage of smoke for us today, but it also shows a little bit of a level up tomorrow. That to yellow, the sort of tan color is still on the lighter side, but could easily bring us into code orange again for tomorrow. You take a look at it, and boy, it definitely looks very hazy, and that's going to be true all across the viewing area. That's a live look at downtown Raleigh right now. Our temperatures, because all the morning clouds have dissipated, are going to warm up pretty quickly here. We're going to see highs in the low 80s. It does look like a nice, quiet, dry day for us, as well as tomorrow. We'll talk about the change in our wind direction that should help to stop the flow of the smoke into our area and how that will evolve over the weekend coming up.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, the Fayetteville City Council voting not to help provide legal counsel for two officers involved in the shooting death of Jada Johnson, and that has angered the leadership of the Fayetteville Police Foundation. WRAL Fayetteville reporter Gilbert Bays is live after talking with the city's mayor about this decision. Gilbert, good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Ken. That vote was taken on June 5th during a work session with the city council. I want to give you a little background on this case. This was a case where the police were called to Jada Johnson's grandparents' home July 1st of last year because she was suffering a mental health crisis. We do have some footage we want to show you of the officers coming into the home after Johnson was shot 17 times by police officers. Now, at one point, Johnson did pull a gun out and put it to her head, but when she put it down, officers were able to subdue her, and then shots were fired. Now, the North Carolina Attorney General's Office, the FBI, and internal Fayetteville police investigators have cleared the officers of any wrongdoing. And the state attorney general, Josh Stein, said he would not be pursuing any charges against the officers. However, the family of J.D. Johnson is pursuing a civil rights violation case against the two officers. The city's decision means that those officers will have to pay for their own attorneys to defend themselves.
We support our police department. This particular case, the young lady was shot around 17 times. And so in the past, we've had the benefit of being able to see the body cam footage to give us a little more context before making a tough decision about that. In this case, we weren't.
Now, the Fayetteville Police Foundation's response to the decision was lengthy and highlights their disappointment in the vote. One point they want to make is that this decision by the city council to withhold funding to assist for the general legal counsel of the officers not only jeopardizes the city's potential legal and financial liabilities, but also fails to demonstrate responsible representation for the citizens who elected them. Now, this is not a done deal. And talking with the mayor this morning, he said that they are still asking Judge Jim Ammons to release that body cam footage. Ken, if they're able to get that footage and take a look at it, the city council may reconsider their decision.
A developing story going on. Gilbert Biggs reporting. Gilbert, thanks.
Four people died in a crash in Moore County, including three sisters who were riding in the same car. 72-year-old Gloria McCrimmon, 63-year-old Cheryl Medlin, and 74-year-old Viola Singletary, seen here in this picture, all died. Family members say they were headed to Fayetteville to pick up a truck that belonged to one of the sisters. The Highway Patrol says the sisters were all in a Kia that was going too fast around a bend, crossed the center line, and then hit a car head-on, killing the driver of that car as well. The force from the impact was so powerful, the engines of both cars were detached. Investigators say a driver is lucky to be alive after a crash in Garner involving a pickup truck and a dump truck. WRL's breaking news tracker was on the scene at East Garner Road near Auburn Nightdale Road. State troopers say a white pickup truck crossed the middle line and hit a dump truck. The dump truck went off the road down a hill and landed in the woods, as you see here. The driver of the mangled pickup truck actually walked away with only minor injuries.
We are tracking controversy in Holly Springs this week. The town officially recognized Pride Month for the first time, but it's what's missing that has people talking. WRL's Brian Trader is here with a look at the proclamation. Brian.
Ken, at Tuesday night's town council meeting, Mayor Sean Mayefsky made this proclamation. Holly Springs recognized Pride Month for the first time, but listen to who was and was not included.
All people, regardless of age, gender identity, race, color, religion, disability, and have the right to be treated on the basis of their value as human beings.
A mention of gender identity, but the proclamation has no mention of sexual orientation, which is the origin of Pride Month, honoring the 1969 Stonewall Uprising in New York City. Activist and Holly Springs resident Jack Turnwald said they approached Mayor Mayefsky after Tuesday's meeting.
I asked if he recognized that sexual orientation had been left out of the proclamation, and he said yes, and that was the way he and his co-author had written it.
Turnwald is glad there was a proclamation at all this year, but says the omission of sexual orientation has confused a lot of people in the community. Turnwald says it is not too late for the mayor to amend that proclamation. I've reached out to Mayor Mayefsky for comment, but so far we have not heard back. Now, you might remember the controversy last year when the town did not issue a Pride Month proclamation. And over recent months, Holly Springs has refused to adopt a non-discrimination ordinance, as many other Wake County communities have done. Turnwald says that it has a lot of people questioning the town of Holly Springs' commitment to inclusion.
And happening right now in the WRL Live Center, we are following this breaking news this afternoon. The Supreme Court has ordered Alabama officials to redraw the state's voting map, making it more favorable to black residents. Now, this decision allows additional opportunities for minority voters to elect the candidate of their choice. Chief Justice John Roberts penned the opinion for a 5-4 majority, and Justice Brett Kavanaugh, he then provided the fifth vote. Republican Terry Sewell called the Supreme Court's decision good. She said it will lead to more equitable maps in Alabama. And then on the other side, Justice Samuel Alito calling the majority opinion a flawed understanding of the Supreme Court precedent. Michelle, thanks. Pat Robertson, the conservative evangelist and media mogul, has died. Robertson created the Christian Broadcasting Network, home to the talk show The 700 Club, and founded the Christian Coalition. He galvanized the modern Christian right, cultivated a massive national following, and regularly drew criticism for his incendiary political statements. Robertson's cause of death has not been released. He was 93.
Four top presidential 2024 contenders plan to visit the Tar Heel State in the coming days. It's an early indication of how important North Carolina is to each party. Democratic President Joe Biden is scheduled to be in Rocky Mount in Fayetteville tomorrow. That same day, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis will speak at our state's general annual GOP convention. Saturday, both Vice President Mike Pence and former President Donald Trump will do the same. Now, we'll have full coverage of both days here on WRL, with teams covering all these high-profile visits. You can read more about our state's importance when it comes to the presidential race on WRL.com. You know, one of the perks of voting is getting that little I voted sticker. Well, next year, one of those stickers will be designed by a Wake County student, and you get to decide which one it will be. About 100 students submitted their designs. These are 10 finalists you're looking at, some drawn by high school seniors, others by sixth graders. The winning design will show up on early voting stickers in next year's election. Voting is now open on Wake County's website until June 21st.
An encouraging update from the Vatican this noon. Pope Francis is doing well following a three-hour operation to remove intestinal scar tissue and repair a hernia in his abdominal wall. NBC's Claudia Lavanga reports from Rome.
Well, the Vatican said in a statement that following the abdominal surgery on Wednesday, the Pope spent a quiet and restful night, that he slept well, that he is alert, and he is breathing spontaneously. It also said that the medical staff are seeing positive results from the post-surgery examinations and checks, and that the Pope will rest the whole day. The Vatican also said that the Pope is aware of the many messages of affection and closeness that are pouring in from around the world, and then he's expressing his gratitude, but he's asking everyone to keep praying for him. Now, last night, on Wednesday evening, the doctor who performed the surgery told us, journalists at the Gemelli Hospital, that usually for patients that undergo this kind of surgery are expected to spend between 5 to 7 days in hospital for a full recovery. And the Vatican has already said that they canceled all audiences with the Pope, at least until June 18th.
If they aren't already, kids will soon be out for summer break. Next at noon, a pediatric dietitian will share some advice on healthy, tasty snacks for the summer.
Also, how would you like to make a little extra money off the clothes hanging in your closet? We'll tell you about a popular app coming to America that allows people to rent clothes from each other.
Plus, what's behind the ongoing finger pointing between Russia and Ukraine about an explosion at this dam that flooded entire communities?
Download the new WRAL streaming apps on Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, and Android TV.
Summer is just around the corner, and that means it's time to plan those vacations, staycations, and summer activities for the kids. But you don't have to break the bank. Local entrepreneur Lakita Hawkins joins us with a wealth of knowledge for ways that you and your family can save on summer fun. Lakita, welcome to the program. One concern some parents have is the summer slide, what we call the learning loss of children over the summer. And you found several programs to keep children learning and having fun. Tell us about them.
Absolutely. Thank you, Renee. Several local libraries sponsor storytime programs. Visit wake.gov for the library in your area. This particular month, an exciting family performance series comes to Southgate Community Library on Crossling Road in Raleigh. Science and stories collide in this brand new interactive STEM program. Throughout the story, you'll help the performer conduct amazing science experiments to help stop a super polluting mastermind. This takes place on June 20th from 10:30 until 11:30. And best of all, it's free.
Making science fun. Okay. People love movies as well. Our viewers can also take the family out for a movie for free. How can we take advantage of that deal?
Absolutely. Movies are free throughout the summer at Walnut Terrace Center in Raleigh. Enjoy a recently released movie from the theater or a popular movie from the past. You can even bring your own snacks and drinks. Find a list of movies on the website. Register online at RaleighNC.gov to reserve your seat.
And Lakita, Juneteenth celebrations begin this weekend in Morrisville, and those are open to everybody.
Absolutely. The town celebrates Juneteenth and recognizes the achievements of the African American community this Saturday from 11 to 3 at the Cedar Fork Community Center and the adjacent field. This year's event includes keynote speeches, entertainment for the entire family, and no event is complete without food. Participants can also take part in the Juneteenth walking tour to learn more about the Mooresville history and the road of the Shallow community.
All right, we will get these on the calendar for sure. Lakita Hawkins, thank you so much for talking with us about these great ideas for summer fun on a budget for the whole family. Hope you have a great summer.
Thanks, Renee. You too.
Let's stick with the summer theme. When kids are at home for the summer break, it's time to stock up on snacks, right? A pediatric registered dietitian says it's important for parents to offer snacks that are nutritionally dense. Cookies or chips are not going to keep them full for long, and they're going to keep eating as well. Well, instead, offer them foods high in protein and fiber. Some snack ideas include an apple with peanut butter, smoothies, homemade popsicles, cheese and crackers, popcorn with peanuts, and whole grain cereal with milk. She says it's okay to let them have cookies and chips in moderation and encourages parents to have some rules.
I really encourage parents to have set meal and snack times throughout the day. Snacks are important and kids can totally have snacks, but it needs to be spaced out every few hours so that their bellies have time to digest and they have time to get hungry before the next meal.
Another benefit to giving kids healthy snacks at a young age is it'll be easier for them to adapt and carry on those habits as they get older.
We want to show you now the latest image from the world's most powerful space telescope. Researchers say the James Webb Space Telescope detected complex molecules in galaxies billions of light years away. This new image shows not one, but two distant galaxies. Researchers say the orange highlights in the galaxy are signatures of star-forming complex organic molecules. And this discovery sheds light on the chemical interactions that occurred within the earliest galaxies in the universe. Just mind-blowing stuff that they're discovering all the time.
Completely fascinating. And it gets you thinking, are we really alone? What else is out there?
Oh, there's a lot to be discovered.
Oh, my gosh, yes. Exactly. Well, here on Earth, it's about the air quality.
Yeah, we know what's out there, and that's hazy conditions still lingering, although a little bit better than yesterday, Elizabeth.
Yes, but science is cool. Yes. Okay, so I just wanted to give you a statewide view. We've kind of gone over and over the fact that we do have code orange here across our viewing area, but it's across the state as well. So, of course, we're looking at the northerly flow of wind helping to push all of that smoke and haze into our area. Just to touch on this again, our number 71 puts us in that moderate or code yellow zone. And these are numbers from sensors that are placed around the state, around all the counties in our viewing area to get a sense for how much pollution there is in the atmosphere. So the forecast is for 130 this afternoon, which would put us up here in the orange or unhealthy for sensitive groups. Yesterday, we had a forecast of unhealthy. Fortunately, I don't think we ever made it to all the way to red yesterday, so that's great. At moderate, it's not dangerous for anyone outside. But once we get into that orange zone, again, the sensitive groups, the elderly, children, people with asthma, that sort of thing, shouldn't be exerting themselves outside. I'll take another more regional look here. And you can see all of these purple and yellow, pink colors, red colors between, say, northern Virginia and New York and up toward Boston. That's where the smoke is worse. That's where the thickest smoke, the most dangerous, hazardous air quality is. And look at what's happening up to the north. So we're looking for the potential for code orange. And you can see definitely some patches of orange that are just to our north and northwest. And that is where our air is coming from. So certainly the folks with the Division of Air Quality are thinking, yeah, we're probably going to see enough smoke by later this afternoon that we'll see that those numbers rising back up to orange. But right now we're in yellow, of course, and you can see that across our viewing area. So if you wanted to get out and play with the kids outside, run around, do whatever you want to, as long as we're still in yellow. And of course, you can keep checking back here to see when we'll see those numbers climbing. So here's what's happening. This is a look at our forecast of wind direction. This is futurecast wind direction. Our wind is coming out of the north. You can see those blue color contours, and that's going to be the case for the rest of the day today and all day tomorrow. But over the weekend, this high pressure system builds in and starts to shift our wind to southerly. We'll begin to see that change on Saturday, and it really takes hold on Sunday. That obviously is going to start to push the smoke and the haze back up to the north, and that means our air quality should continue to get much better over the weekend. Very hazy here at RDU and, of course, all across the viewing area. Our temperature is now 74. We'll likely climb to around 80 this afternoon, 82 Friday, 86 Saturday, and 89 on Sunday. So we're going to see those temperatures jumping and the humidity, too. Look at that. By Monday, our dew point is at 71, and that's tropical. We have rarely seen 70s for our dew points this spring, so that's going to be sort of a new, really summer feel that we're going to feel. The other thing about Monday is we have a front coming through that's going to bring us some scattered showers and thunderstorms. That's one of the reasons the dew points will be so high. We'll also walk you through that late Sunday into Monday and show you when to expect the rain coming up. And those wildfires from Canada still affecting things going on in New York. This just in, Belmont, the racing at Belmont Park was canceled for today. The Washington Nationals home game in Washington, D.C. against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That was also postponed on Thursday because of that poor air quality. The New York Giants also canceling their practice that was scheduled for today. This is the second straight day of all of this happening. Just yesterday, several Major League Baseball games were also called off, and an indoor WNBA game that was set for Brooklyn was also called up because of this poor air quality that they are experiencing in the Northeast right now.
Wide-reaching impacts from the smoke from the wildfires. Mm-hmm. Auto insurance prices are rising higher than inflation. Coming up today on WRAL News at 4, 5 on Your Side shares 5 ways that you can really save on car insurance.
Then at 5, a local college student says she is living her life backwards, having her family first, and now landing a dream internship with the Mayo Clinic at 48 years old. Keenan Willard walks us through how she's hoping to use her own experience to inspire others. Our news continues here at noon, though. Google is cracking down on employees who don't show up to the office when they should, how the company plans to track this data, and how it's affecting the workers.
And speaking of workers, women who left their jobs during the pandemic are returning in droves. A staggering number of women in the workforce in our next half hour.
Well, we have a correction to share related to the deadly crash that killed 4 people in Moore County. Moments ago, we told you about the 3 sisters who died in that crash yesterday. Well, troopers say it was their car that was hit by a driver who crossed the center line and hit them head on. That driver also died. A passenger in that car was taken to the hospital.
Taco Bell is testing a vegan version of a popular menu item, and ads may be coming to Amazon Prime. Those are among today's business headlines with Maribel Aper.
Amazon plans to launch a new tier of Prime Video with advertisements. The Wall Street Journal reports it would be a way for advertisers to get access to Amazon's hit shows and premium movies, and Amazon would get new revenue from the ads to help cover the cost of creating the content. Other streaming services like Netflix and Disney Plus have already had ad tiers, but Amazon's programming is still mostly ad-free. One option Amazon is considering is bringing in more ads and then giving Prime members the option to pay more for an ads-free service. Give Apple and Adidas an assist in bringing soccer superstar Lionel Messi to the U.S. Both companies are contributing to the mega deal Messi is expected to sign to play for Major League Soccer's Inter-Miami franchise. Apple broadcasts games worldwide through its MLS Season Pass service, and Messi will receive a percentage of all new subscriptions to the service, according to the Wall Street Journal. The journal also reports Adidas, which sponsors both Messi and the MLS, is contributing to the deal as well. Taco Bell is testing a vegan version of its popular Crunchwrap. The menu item uses plant-based beef and cheese. Taco Bell is testing it in 3 cities for now: New York, Los Angeles, and Orlando. Those were picked due to their high vegan populations, the chain said. Taco Bell has been a longtime favorite for customers who don't eat meat. Last year, almost a quarter of the items it sold were vegetarian. And those are your business headlines. I'm Maribel Aper at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Well, Google plans to crack down on office attendance. The company is updating its hybrid work policy. It now includes tracking office badge attendance, confronting workers who aren't coming into work when they're supposed to. The attendance will also be added to performance reviews. Most employees are expected in physical offices at least 3 days a week. A clothing app that allows you to rent fashion pieces from other people is making its way into the U.S. By Rotation is a U.K. clothing rental app. It differs from services like Rent the Runway because users on the app can rent to each other. The app's founder hopes this will help curb buying clothing items that may be worn only once for certain occasions and never worn again.
New satellite images show the extent of the flooding caused by the breach of a dam in Ukraine. Thousands forced to flee their homes, even as Russia bombs the area. How one North Carolina-based organization plans to help.
Also, the number of women in the workforce is rivaling pre-pandemic levels. Coming up, what some experts credit for the turnaround. And going to break, check out your screen. That's your winning lottery numbers.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Huge parts of land are underwater in southern Ukraine, 2 days after the destruction of a large dam. Russia accuses Ukraine of shelling the structure, which was under Moscow's control, while Ukraine alleged that Russian military blew it up. NBC's Raf Sanchez reports from southern Ukraine.
We are seeing an environmental and a humanitarian disaster unfolding across southern Ukraine right now. And that is because the Dnieper River is the lifeline of this region. But as you can see from this dried out marina behind me, water levels have fallen dramatically in the last 2 days since that dam explosion. And that's because the water that should be in the reservoir here in Zaporizhia is instead bursting through the remains of that dam and flooding into the cities of Kherson and other communities downstream from here. Now, Ukrainian authorities say they've evacuated around 2,000 civilians from the west bank of the river, which they control, but they are very concerned about civilians on the Russian-occupied eastern side, who they say have basically been left to fend for themselves. We have seen the Ukrainian military using drones to drop individual bottles of water to families stranded on the eastern side. Now, President Zelensky visited the city of Kherson earlier. He called on the international community to really step up and do more to help civilians here. And this is not a trip without risk. Ukrainian authorities say Russian forces on the other side of the river have continued to shell the city, even as these evacuation efforts are underway. Raf Sanchez, NBC News, Zaporizhia, Ukraine.
North Carolina-based Samaritan's Purse will send additional supplies to the region tomorrow. The group will transport more than 40,000 pounds of supplies to Ukraine following the collapse of that critical dam. The cargo plane contains various supplies, including blankets, hygiene kits, water filters, and solar lights. It will land in Poland, then the supplies will be driven to the Kherson region.
Happening now in the WREL Live Center, Joran van der Sloot, now in the U.S., his extradition coming after the 2005 disappearance of U.S. student Natalie Holloway. Now, Joran van der Sloot, in photos and videos here released, showed that he is wearing jeans, a black puffer jacket, and shaking his shoulders at officers as they handle his handcuffs here. Now, van der Sloot currently is serving a 28-year sentence for the murder of a Peruvian woman. We're going to stay on top of this story and on top of the new developments.
A new massive sports complex could be coming to Durham. In less than 30 minutes, City Council will take up a proposal that promises not only to bring in tax dollars, but to help children all across the city. WREL's Monica Casey spoke with the planners.
These plans mean this Durham skyline could soon look very different. The location of this multi-sport complex has not yet been decided, but the size they're discussing is substantial. The plans include an indoor concept, an auxiliary gym, and an outdoor space which could cover 37.5 acres. Discover Durham and the Durham Sports Commission will be giving this presentation to City Council today. Sports Commission Executive Director Marcus Manning tells me he wants to be sure everyone can benefit from a facility like this one.
Balancing between sports tourism and providing opportunities for youth here in the area, looking at every level, from hosting championships to providing that open and informal and formal participation.
While this development would bring in tourism dollars, Manning and other planners hope it could also be a safe space and provide purpose for Durham youth. Studies show sports can have a positive impact on not only physical, but also mental health. These plans are still in early stages. City Council will discuss them at 1 o'clock, but they'll hear much more coming up in the fall. Monica Casey, WREL News in Durham.
Well, one other note from the Durham City Council: members will also consider raising salaries for firefighters and police by 2% today. Video from Monday shows first responders sharing their concerns with the council about pay and chronic understaffing. The council will then discuss extending an agreement with the EMTs to serve on the city's HEART team. That program dispatches healthcare professionals to handle mental health calls instead of police.
A bill that legalizes mobile sports betting in North Carolina is now on the governor's desk. The measure allowing you to place bets on professional and college sports through mobile apps and at 8 in-person locations. State lawmakers gave final approval yesterday. Governor Cooper is expected to sign it. The State Lottery Commission will be in charge of sports betting. It would start as soon as January. Millions more dollars are headed to help students in Franklin County. County commissioners just approved a $113 million budget plan. $25 million will go to schools. That's the most funding for education in the county's history. The budget will also pay for 20 new government jobs and some pay raises. Franklin County did not raise property taxes, but they did increase water and sewer rates.
A massive senior living center in North Hills is officially opening its newest expansion today. The East Tower at the Cardinal is holding a grand opening ceremony today at 4. These are renderings of that building. The 18-story high-rise includes nearly 200 apartments, including dozens of assisted living spaces. Developers say the project brings with it an additional 100 jobs. Durham is getting a big influx of funding as it adds a new commuter rail system. The city just received a $1.2 million grant to study how to make the system work in the eastern part of the city. That's where trains keep blocking railroad crossings, forcing drivers to find another route. City leaders say the solutions could include building bridges, tunnels, or even closing some crossings. An exact timeline for the new commuter rail is still in the works.
A post-pandemic pattern is attracting attention. What's driving women to rejoin the workforce in record numbers?
Also, not getting enough quality sleep can be bad for your health. What insomniacs under the age of 50 need to be concerned about? Welcome back. We're coming up on 1240 and looking live at the whirly gigs in Wilson. Not much wind to speak of, and the good news is our air quality is improving. As always, we thank you for watching WRL News, available on Hulu and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device.
About 2 million women left the workforce during the pandemic. Jerry Willis explains how there are now more women on payrolls than ever before.
3 years after millions of women dropped out of the workforce or lost their jobs due to the pandemic, women are now leading the U.S. jobs market recovery. But according to the moms we spoke to who left and came back, it's not been easy. Listen.
It's no secret that your prime earning years, at least in the business world, are women's prime childbearing years.
And then the pandemic hit. You know, I found a nanny. She got COVID. I found, you know, another nanny, she stopped, didn't show. All of a sudden, all the daycare shut down.
The labor force participation rate for women aged 25 to 54 reached an all-time high of 77.6% in May, just 3 years after the lowest rate in nearly a decade during the pandemic. So just how did women manage to make that turnaround?
Of my friends and women that I know that have kids in my children's schools, the majority of them either have some kind of hybrid or flexible working arrangement.
Families are still picking up a hefty tab for childcare that can amount to 19% of family income. But many are finding solutions now that COVID is behind them.
That was Jerry Willis reporting. According to most recent data, there were 1.8 job openings for every jobless person in April. That gives women leverage to negotiate more flexible work schedules.
Well, coming up, the growing health concerns associated with wildfires now burning in Canada and affecting millions all across the U.S. and right here at home. Also, how likely are you to suffer a stroke if you are coping with insomnia?
Happening now in the WRAL Live Center, we are following breaking news out of France this noon where a suspect has been arrested in connection to the stabbing involving several children in the Alps. As you can see here in reference to the location from Paris, let's give you another look here at the video playing from the scene. Again, several children injured in a stabbing. They arrested a 31-year-old man from Sweden. Now, police said that the children were as young as 21 months old to 3 years old. This tweet coming from the president of France, Emmanuel Macron. Obviously, this is in French, but he says the attack of absolute cowardice this morning in a park in Annecy. Children and an adult are between life and death. The nation is in shock. Our thoughts are with them as well as their families and relief. This is a story that we will continue to stay on top of. The motive is unknown at this time.
Laura, thank you. June is Post-Traumatic Stress Disorder Awareness Month. The condition currently affects about 12 million people in the U.S. Ohio State University has developed a new telehealth program that can provide help beyond the military. The Suicide and Trauma Reduction Initiative for Veterans, also called STRIVE, is available for anyone with PTSD. The program lasts 2 weeks with daily weekday therapy sessions and helps people develop personalized crisis plans and coping skills. People who suffer from insomnia may be at risk for stroke. Researchers say if you have from 1 to 4 symptoms of insomnia, even as mild as morning tiredness, you have a 16% higher risk of suffering a stroke. The condition happens when blood supply is cut off to the brain, and those under age 50 have the greatest risks.
Well, you know, smoke continues to blanket parts of the country as hundreds of wildfires burn in Canada. Burning eyes, asthma attacks are just some of the very real health concerns that can be caused by smoke from these wildfires. Linda Schmidt takes a look at the effects wildfire smoke could have on your health.
So what exactly are we inhaling?
What's in the air is the product of burning forests, basically burning trees. And there are very tiny particles that penetrate deeply in the lung. And that's why people are getting sick from it.
Especially those with chronic lung issues. But even healthy people can be affected.
The average person certainly will have irritation of the airways and may feel more short of breath, may have coughing. May have eye irritation, a runny nose.
Babies and young children are especially vulnerable.
Their airways are smaller. So anytime there's inflammation or irritation that narrows the airway because of the swelling, that causes difficulty breathing. Wearing a mask at this point is really important.
Hospital systems across our area are ready for any possible surge.
We're definitely preparing for it.
Dr. Eric Costanzo is with Hackensack Meridian in New Jersey.
I suspect the next 24 hours we might see a slight tick up or increase in the ER visits.
They are already seeing more patients at Mount Sinai Hospital in Queens.
Later this afternoon, as the air quality worsened, we have started to see a little more. And these are mainly like respiratory complaints.
Dr. Ian Newmark is the chief of pulmonology at Syosset Hospital on Long Island.
We have plenty of things like nebulizers and inhaled steroids and, of course, oxygen.
Yeah, and that was Linda Schmidt reporting. You see those images out of the Northeast, particularly in New York. So grateful it's not as bad here.
Yeah, and all the leftover N95 masks that people had, and now they're wearing them because the air quality there is horrible. Much better here for us, although we do have an air quality alert to tell you about. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner explains what's out in the air for us.
Our forecast for this afternoon is orange, and our forecast for Friday is also orange. And, of course, that means that it can be uncomfortable for sensitive groups, as the person in the interview was saying, you know, especially small children and babies or the elderly, anyone with any lung or heart issues, just want to take it easy out there for the next couple of afternoons. Our current reading around the Triangle area is at code yellow. So that's good news. No matter who you are, you shouldn't have any trouble getting out and about, at least for the next few hours. But mid to late afternoon, we might see those numbers of particles of pollution in the atmosphere going up. By Saturday and Sunday, we should see some nice improvement. We're going to see our wind shifting to southerly. It's going to start to push some of that smoke back up to the north. It definitely looks very hazy right now as we take a look across Wake County. We're in eastern Wake County looking west toward downtown Raleigh over here, but a very hazy look to the sky right now. We take a look at the high-resolution satellite. Earlier this morning, we were seeing a good bit of cloud cover, and you can see those clouds have dissipated. So everything that we're seeing right now is just the haze due to the smoke in the atmosphere from Canada. A little bit of patchy cloud cover up to the north and east, but that's sliding on out. Actually seeing some drier air making its way down from the north at this point. But of course, we know that there's a lot of smoke in that air that's drifting southward. We had a cold front move across the area yesterday. That cold front is now moving offshore, and you can see it's taking all the rain with it. So things are nice and quiet, nice and dry. A little bit of activity up here along a weak front or a trough that's not too far from Richmond. We do have a severe thunderstorm that popped up there just in the last 15 15 minutes or so. It doesn't look like that's going to drift down into our area, but it may push some clouds into some of our northeastern counties. We take a look at Futurecast for Sunday into Monday, because that's going to be our next best chance for rain. Sunday, one thing that's going to be welcome, I know, is this flow coming out of the south. That will keep the flow of smoke from coming down from Canada as we see that wind going in the opposite direction from where it's headed now. Sunday should be a pretty nice day. It's going to be warmer and more humid because we'll have that southerly flow. But this is a look at 8 a.m. We're nice and clear. We'll see partly cloudy skies in the afternoon. A cold front moves into the mountains on Sunday evening, and we may see a little bit of patchy rain on Monday morning through lunchtime. But the cold front itself comes through in the afternoon and evening. You see there at 5 o'clock, that looks like we are when we could see the heaviest rainfall. And again, that's on Monday. Beach forecast for the weekend, looking pretty good. All up and down the coast, temperatures will be in the upper 70s, and we'll see sunshine. Tomorrow in the mountains, 83 in Asheville. I should say tomorrow, Saturday. It's not Friday yet. And temperatures in the higher elevations in Boone and Linville in the mid-70s. Again, we're looking at a warm weekend. 86 Saturday, almost 90 on Sunday. And then Monday looks fairly wet with those scattered showers and storms.
Elizabeth, thanks. Well, if you're looking to save money on a flight this summer, you might want to reconsider which airport you fly in and out of. A look at the most expensive airports when we come back.
And here's a look at the winning Powerball numbers. They are 16, 21, 29, 53, 66. The Powerball is 2. The Power Play is 5. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines we're following today. Haze from the Canadian wildfires is still affecting our air quality. Right now, we're under a code yellow alert. However, the forecast for our viewing area will be code orange. New York City had the worst air quality in the world this morning. That's according to the air tracking service, IQAir.com. Schools are closed there, professional sports events are postponed, and airport delays keep growing.
Today, we learned three of the four people who died in a Moore County car crash were sisters. The crash happened yesterday on Highway 690 near Vass. The women range in age from 63 to 74. Troopers say the driver of another car came around the bend going too fast and crossed the center line and hit the car the women were riding in. The driver of that car was also killed. A passenger was flown to the hospital.
Religious broadcaster and one-time presidential candidate Pat Robertson has passed away. The 93-year-old founded the Christian Broadcasting Network and hosted its flagship program, the 700 Club, for years. He also founded the Christian school Regent University. Robertson was known for expressing his views, no matter how controversial. His cause of death has not been shared.
You want to save some money and beat the crowds when flying? We've got a look at the cheapest and most expensive airports in the country. The Bureau of Transportation Statistics compiled the list. The priciest airports include four in Alaska and Lanai, Hawaii, with tickets from $850 to almost $1,000. Now, the top five least expensive, including San Bernardino, San Maria, and Stockton, California, as well as Ogden and Provo, Utah, with the lowest flights around $100.
But RDU is still a great value. Sure. More kids in our state will have access to free books. Reach Out and Read announced an $8 million donation by philanthropist Mackenzie Scott. It is the largest private donation in the nonprofit's history. The organization gives books to kids from birth to age 5 during their pediatric well visits to encourage bonding through reading with parents.
Our pet of today comes to us from the SPCA of Wake County. Lydia is a 1-year-old spay female cat with only 3 legs. She was rescued from a Good Samaritan after she was found dangling with her leg caught between fence posts. Lydia had emergency surgery and vets had to amputate her leg. She loves people in all ages and animals. Interested adopters can get more information at spcawake.org.
And thanks for joining us for this special edition of WRL News at noon on Fox 50.
You can get more breaking news on the WRL app and, of course, online at WRL.com.
Keep watching WRL News over the air, Channel 34 and Spectrum Channel 1257.